Welcome back. We are in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 20. Let's go. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 20. My translation, the subsection is entitled Greatness of the New Priest. Verse 20. And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. It's a long sentence. There's a lot going on here, so let's divide it up. It says, and insomuch as he was not made priest without an oath. So we've got a negative, double negative there, which makes it a positive. Kind of think back to your math equations in school, all right? And so it's saying he was made priest with an oath. But it's contrasting to the other priests. It says, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who said to him. So Jesus is our priest without an oath. The priests from the tribe of Levi, from the line of Aaron, were made without an oath. So they became, not Jesus, but they in the line of Aaron became priests simply because they were in the tribe of Levi and they were in the line of Aaron, right? They were the descendants of Aaron, the direct descendants of Aaron. So there's no swearing in ceremony with an oath, but with Melchizedek, there's an oath. There's a oath from God, a promise from God. And one of the biggest points that we're getting out of this is that the priesthood of Melchizedek is superior, greater, better, longer lasting, etc., than the earthly priesthood that God had set up under the tribe of Levi, under the line of Aaron. You may look at that and think it's boring, but there's a lot to it, and it's fun, and we're digging into it. We've been digging into it for several chapters now. We'll continue to dig into it, and we'll learn from it, and we'll be able to apply it to our daily lives right here, right now, which is great. Because we're going to understand Jesus better. We're going to understand how he originally had it and then his plan for ultimate redemption and how that's all unfolding and playing out. And we're seeing that looking back in time through Hebrews. And so it says, but he with an oath by him who said to him, and it has these four lines, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. That is a direct quote from Psalm 110:4, which records the ceremony. So that Psalm 110:4 said exactly that, and you could read the rest of the psalm. But that's going back to the Old Testament to talk about this, right? The Lord has sworn. What did God the Father swear? He swore this oath that this is what he wanted. This is what the plan was. And he didn't make an oath with any of the other priests. Think about that. There were 80-something, I think 84 priests, someone thinks there were back then through the line of Aaron. And none of them were sworn in with an oath by God the Father. But this one, Melchizedek, right, the foreshadowing of Jesus, I believe it's the Christophany of Jesus, was sworn in by God the Father. And it says, and he will not relent, and you are a priest forever. Not a temporary priest. Remember, the priests under the line of Aaron were just like you and I. They died and they sinned. They died and they sinned. But Melchizedek never sinned, never died. Right? Awesome. A priest forever. Very different according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 22. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. So again, we've got this contrasting going on. The better covenant. The new covenant versus the old covenant. A better covenant versus a lesser covenant. Jesus, who is eternal, versus a priest who would die. Jesus, who is sinless, versus a priest who is a sinner. Jesus, who did not have to continually make sacrifices, versus a priest on earth who continually had to make sacrifices, right? We probably feel like the priests of the Old Testament, like we always need to you know, make the sacrifice and make it and atone for our sins and repent because we do continue to sin. And we feel like we need to wash it, hopefully, right? Hopefully we don't just look at our sin and say, hey, I like that sin. I'm going to continue to do it. No, that's open sin, and that's a sign of a heart that has not been regenerated, a heart that has not, a life that has not been saved. So you want to feel that conviction. That's a good sign of saying, oh, I am saved because I feel bad about this, right? This breaking this commandment, for example. I feel bad about looking at that person with lust. I feel bad at looking at that person's money and house and cars with jealousy and covetousness, or their wife with covetousness, or I get angry and I feel bad about that, etc. So Jesus has a better covenant for us. And the priestly line of Aaron was for the old covenant, but the priestly line of Jesus is for the new covenant. Right? The new covenant is actually established on better promises. How do we know that? Just look at Hebrews 8:6, and we're going to get there in a couple of podcasts from now. We enjoy some blessings of the new covenant, but it actually hasn't been fully fulfilled yet. More of it will be fulfilled in the millennial kingdom. That's the thousand-year kingdom after the seven-year tribulation, after the rapture. So right now we're in the church age. It will end with the rapture of the church, and then we'll have a seven-year tribulation and then a thousand-year millennial kingdom, and some more of the new covenant will be fulfilled during that millennial kingdom, and then the rest of it will be fulfilled in the eternal kingdom. So the new covenant is actually around, it's better, but it's yet to be fully fulfilled. Verse 23, also there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. That's a simple statement to understand, right? Why were there many priests? It tells us because they died, so they couldn't continue, right? Aaron couldn't be a priest forever because he had to die, and then the next one would step in. But that is not the case with Jesus. Jesus is eternal, always has been, always will be. He's the Alpha and the Omega, right? That's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three persons and one Godhead. It's one God. Always been around, is here, and always will be around. And we can rest in that because we know he's not going to die. We're not afraid, right? Some people idolize literally things, and they call it a god, like a cow or a bronze or a golden statue or a figure or something. Well, that thing is going to get destroyed. At some point, it's going to fall apart and decay. It's going to, there's going to be a fire or a bomb or, you know, something. It's just, it's not going to last forever, but Jesus lasts forever. These priests in the Old Testament in the line of Aaron didn't last forever because just like you and I, at some point, their body, due to sin, because of the lost and dying world that we live in because of sin, their body would get ill, would get old, would grow old, and die. That was not supposed to be the case with Adam and Eve, who were supposed to live forever, but for their sin, because sin brought upon death. And so we know that we can be washed by Jesus because he is eternal. The priests of the Old Testament had to continue to wash, had continued to do these sacrifices because there was continual sin, not only for themselves, right? They were sinners, yes, just like any pastor today is a sinner, but they were also sacrificing for the sins of the people, and the people continue to sin. But Jesus is sinless, and he never will sin. Verse 23, also there were many priests, because they were prevented by death from continuing. 24, but he, because he continues forever, who's that? That's Jesus, has an unchangeable priesthood. Unchangeable, that's the word we want to think about there. Aaronic priests had different lives, right? So one Aaronic priest would die, and then the oldest son would step in, etc., and go on down the line. They had different lives, different experiences, different thoughts, different personalities. So there was a change. With each changing of the guard, there was a change in what was going on with that particular priest. Unlike Jesus, who is there forever. And how do we know that he's not going to change? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All right, that's awesome. So we don't have to worry about, oh, I wonder who the next priest is going to be. Are they going to treat us the same? Is the next, you know, person in charge of us going to make a whole new set of rules that we have to abide by? No, Jesus already fulfilled the law, right? The law was given in the Old Testament to reveal sin, not to prove someone perfect, but to reveal sin so that you could look and say, okay, I'm a sinner in desperate need of a Savior. In the New Testament, we look and say, okay, I'm a sinner in desperate need of a Savior, but I don't have to fulfill the law. I don't have to try to keep the law. I don't have to do these deeds. I simply have to place my faith in the one who created me. I have to worship the creator rather than the creation. I want to place my faith, my hope, my love, and everything in the one who created me, Jesus Christ, who created me in his own image, rather than creating something on earth or creating evolution or worshiping evolution or something, or reincarnation or millions of gods or something like that, right? God is unchangeable. Jesus is God. He is unchangeable. And that priesthood is unchangeable. And that's good to know. That gives you a lot of confidence. So several applications today. One of the things you could take away is just that Jesus is sinless and has always been, and any earthly priest, anyone you may place your faith in, is like, oh, this is the person I need to follow. They're going to fail you, right? They're a sinner. They're going to screw up at some point. They're going to screw up a lot more than you think and then you know, because they have their own mind and their own life and you're not watching them 24/7. Don't place your faith in a person. Place your faith in Jesus Christ. Don't worship things on this earth. Worship God. Right? God wants to live inside of your heart. If you're a believer, if you're born again, he's already living inside of you. If you're not, you can invite him to live in your life. Lord, we come to you this day. I ask that you would guide us and strengthen us. Be with each person who is hurting today, each person who has something in their life that they need prayer for. Help us to talk to you more, communicate with you more, learn about you more, have a better relationship with you, because we know that life is better with you. It just simply is better with you. Help us to understand that and live that out, Lord. Amen.